face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Headlines.
Bruins begin their three-game Canadian road trip with a loss late last night, 2-1 in a shootout in Vancouver. The Bees had 36 shots on net, but Patrice Bergeron was the only Bruin to beat Canucks goaltender Thatcher Demko, and it was on the power play.
I think we had some pretty good looks to actually, you know, we missed a couple there where it was pretty wide open. Called back on Halla, you know, with that outside great play by him. Unfortunate.
Jeremy Swayman made 31 saves for the Bruins through overtime, and then allowed a pair of goals in the shootout. The road trip continues tonight in Edmonton. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 8:30 and the faceoff at 9 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. News isn't any better for the Celtics. They're 1-3 on their road trip after a 114-111 loss to the Clippers at Staples Center. Jason Tatum, 29 points and 10 rebounds for the Green. They were actually down 15 midway through the fourth quarter before a big rally got them all the way to within one in the final 30 seconds. The trip ends tomorrow night in Phoenix. Patriots are on their bye week. Players have the next few days off. Week 14 of the NFL season begins tonight as Pittsburgh visits Minnesota. And Tiger Woods announced yesterday he will return to golf next week at the PNC Championship. And he plans to play with his 12-year-old son. Sports Up headlines are brought to you by UFOs. Get recharged like Zoe and Ted Johnson did with UFOs footwear, designed for recovery and made with UFOam technology. UFOs footwear absorbs impact so your body doesn't have to. Learn more at UFOs.com. I'm John Wallach of Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update at 6:30.
Billy McAvoy.
He got drilled by McAvoy, who stepped up and leveled him.
On your home for Bruins hockey, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Bop-doo-zop.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season 4, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bop.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have 4 recliners. He has 3.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Sarge really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Jace, do I just may.
It's really cold outside.
Monday Night Raw
with Dean Ambrose
is on tonight.
Roman Reigns is gonna suplex Bray Wyatt.
I know it's gonna be soon.
Like your death.
We'll be eating at Kowloon.
Don't go to sleep.
So hey, Andy Wong.
He's cool and will be spared.
Let's have some Saugus wings.
Don't go to sleep.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're the Touch and Rich radio program. John Ferretire Studios. You can watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv. Subscribe to 98.5 The Sports Hub. 617-779-0985. We also have creeping around the locker room
at the wrestling event.
Every time I hear one of those songs, like the actual song on, you know, Christmas radio or I'm in a place, those pop in my head and I start singing them. There's that one. There's the one. What's the Please Andy Wong?
Please Andy Wong.
Please Andy Wong.
I like that one.
Spring rolls and moo shoe pork.
Do you have that?
I think I do.
That'd be awesome. I like that. My favorite one though is creeping around the locker room at the wrestling event.
Please Andy Wong. Andy Wong, give me more spring rolls and moose shoe pork.
every time I feel like Feliz Navidad, that goes in my head. And this one right here is one that even my kids sing when they hear it.
Creeping around the locker room at the wrestling event. Hey, it's the Million Dollar Man. I'm gonna steal his jock.
And that's how it ends. It's just there's no more.
Sounds like a good idea.
Paul Stanley.
Sounds like a capital idea.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, listen, I started with Baby It's Cold Outside because I'm wondering, John, is the car pointed in the right direction in
yes.
the parking lot?
Oh, we're set to go. The windshield wipers are up.
The wipers are up.
Are the wipers really up?
No.
Okay. I was just going to say, that is a... That is a disease if the wipers are up.
Now, do you still go outside when there's 30 minutes left in the show and turn the car on? Is that...
No. Okay. No, I've told you guys this before. We had one, which winter was it? Like 3 years ago where it was really bad and we got walloped week after week after week. After that, I was just like, all right, whatever. Just bring it on. I can't get any worse than this.
John, I hate to tell you, I think that was like 14. I think
was that right?
Yeah. Oh, well, because I remember 13 and 14 were the 2 years back to back where it was just, I mean, misery. I remember.
Oh, that was the year we went to Phoenix. We avoided one, which came in like 3 hours after we flew down there, and then another one came right after we got back.
We were in Phoenix just soaking up the sun. Thank God we were in Phoenix. Thank God we missed that snowstorm. We were just like, you suckers, we're up at 2 a.m. in an empty, stupid building.
Hey, we had a good time at Alice Cooper's restaurant that time.
That was the highlight right. of the...
And
of
Rich
the,
ordered a hot dog that was about 2 feet long.
Yeah, sure. The Cooperstown Man versus Food Challenge.
And they rang a bell, and that was the most fun that I had on that. That was the only time of any kind of relaxation or fun. On that entire
you and I
trip.
Went out and grabbed some food in between media sessions. It was really fun. Come on now.
I do enjoy spending time with you guys when we're on the road. Yeah. I sincerely do, but I did. I absolutely hated that.
I've never heard that before. Is that right? You didn't like our time in Phoenix?
I don't know how you liked it.
I didn't care. I didn't think it was... look, it sucked. No one likes getting up at 2 a.m. We were in a time zone that was not built for this program. Mm-hmm. But... I didn't,
but if we got up at 2 and then like went into, you know, like a good situation for good shows, that would be one thing. But we just went into an empty. And remember how poorly we were treated? Like that,
we couldn't get coffee. I remember that because what was great
they
was
didn't
that
have soda. They didn't have coffee.
So it was us and Boomer Show, and we were right next to each other, and we were like two of the only shows that were on the air when we would go on.
Oh, that's right. East Coast. We had Jim Rome's Riser like off to our left.
Yeah, like his that. Kiss stage, which is fantastic,
which was empty.
But right to the left of Boomer's stage, there was this big coffee machine, and they had like donuts and stuff, and there was like water. And I remember, for some weird reason, nobody at the whole establishment where they set this up for Radio Row had thought, you know what, maybe people might want coffee in the morning. Just coffee somewhere. It was until, what, 9? Like, right before we're about to get off the air? The coffee showed up.
We got off the air at 8.
No, well... 8 o'clock their time. Okay, you're right. Yeah, so it was right when we were about to go off the air, they brought the coffee.
But I got news for you. At 8 o'clock, nothing was going on in there either.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how it was just... That was the year that Papa John came in.
Well, that's the year that's when I got to meet Papa John for the first time. So you say that it's a failure. I think that it was probably the most successful of all the Super Bowl
radio. No, I did like having to do a four-hour show from there. And then from 3 to 7 a.m., I apologize, 4 to 8 a.m., and then having to go back there later in the afternoon to pick up scraps of people didn't want.
But what I was saying is that while it was just Boomer and I, and there was no kind of water or coffee anywhere, they had this massive coffee machine. I remember at one point I went walking up to it because I thought it was just the one that the place had set up, and I got yelled at by Boomer's people, like, no, this coffee, this gigantic coffee machine... is just for those two guys.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, man. Like, Boomer's a friend of ours. Come on, let me just have some coffee. There. No. So that was the worst part of it.
Mm. Yeah, not fun. But the snow, the year, either before or during the, when we were in Arizona, was so bad that I actually put something on Facebook, which for me is, the snow to walk my children to school was above my head. I'm 6'2". It was above my head.
Yep. Yeah.
It was on either side of
the driveway. I couldn't see getting out of my driveway. The drifts were so high. You know, no idea.
Do you remember, John, that there was a snow farm that was kind of over in the town near the seaport?
Yes, it took until June to melt. Yep. I remember that.
Like, it was a mountain of snow and just all of the gross dirt that had been in the air.
Yeah.
It looked like a black mountain of snow that didn't melt until, and this is no exaggeration, it was like the first week of July. It was so bad. There was so much of it.
Yeah.
And that was the period of time, Fred, where we had two of those winters where I actually knew people who moved. Like, they're like, if this is the way winter is just going to continue to be, and these are people who lived in Boston and Massachusetts most of their life, they're like, I can get a job somewhere else if we were going to have two winters that are like this.
We had a contract coming up, and I said, if this next winter is as bad, I had talked to my family about it. I said, if this winter is as bad, then I'm moving. And I don't care if it's for less money, because it's not worth this.
And then, since then, we really haven't had anything close to that.
No, we've been very fortunate that the earth is crumbling around.
Right. I mean, it's kind of worked in our favor.
It was snowing in Hawaii the other day, so
they got 8 inches of snow on the Big Island yesterday.
So, I mean,
no, global warming's not a thing.
No,
we're fine.
It's a hoax perpetrated by big science.
Dan's going there next week.
I know. Good for you, Dan.
Dan
perfect.
Dan will be fine. Dan will. Dan with his sugar daddy's going to be fine. Dan gets first class tickets. Dan has the time of his life. He doesn't have to pay for a thing.
He's on the direct flight, right?
Away from the family, yeah.
You're on the direct flight, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the way to do it. I know some people got to break it up. They would go nuts. I just, if you're on, you're in the zone. Let's go. Let's get it over with.
I have to break it up, too, because 11 hours.
Can I get you another drink, sir?
While you rest inside your pod.
Sorry, I don't mean to wake you, but would you like something?
Well, first of all, I couldn't sleep for 11 hours. Second of all, drinking for 11 hours is starts to wear off and become more sickening than anything else.
Then when you turn the clock back 6 hours and it's still
I know.
The same day, and you're like, oh.
And then any pill you take is going to wear off well before 11 hours is over. So if it was me, I'd fly out to San Francisco, spend a night or two in San Francisco having a good time.
That's the way I did it.
I did that last year.
Yeah, when I went for my honeymoon, it stopped in L.A. on the way out and San Francisco on the way back. And, you know, look, hanging around airports waiting for another flight is never fun. But at that point, I needed it.
Oh, if you can do it where you're spending several nights, that's different.
Well, no, it's six to the coast and another five out to the island. I needed that. I absolutely needed to stretch your legs, you know, see something else, walk around.
See, I can do 6 hours on a plane. I can do 5 hours on a plane. I could do 11 hours on a plane. I would be miserable, but I just like to knock myself out, wake up and go, oh, Jesus, there's 5 hours left of this flight. I don't know if my brain could take it. I think my brain would just be like, oh, boy.
Did I ever tell you when I went to Australia, you do the 6 hours to L.A., and then there's like a little bit of a layover, maybe a couple hours, and then it's 16.
Oh, jeez.
So I think I fell asleep for a little. I stayed awake for the entire time out to L.A. to force myself to, you know, be tired. Oh. I fell asleep for about 5 hours, and when I woke up, they were like, oh, there's still 11 hours left on this flight.
Okay, so it might have been 2001, and I was working. I was like, I think I might have just gotten nights at 99X in Atlanta, or I was part-time still. I was working full-time, but not on the air, full-time. And the sales guy came up to me, and he goes, oh, he was a promotions guy. He goes, dude, you just hit the lottery. And I'm like, yeah? And he's like, South Africa. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, South African Airlines have just debuted a nonstop flight from Hartsfield. You fly down to South Africa, spend the night, and fly back. Like,
one night?
No.
Jackpot.
One night?
One night.
Oh,
because you say South Africa to me first, I'm like, all right, let's talk. And one night?
Well, first of all, South Africa by yourself. Like, what? Like,
you weren't allowed to bring anybody?
No, the way it was presented, we never got much. We never got much past.
See, we want you to talk about the actual airplane,
well,
not South Africa itself.
Well, you know, Axel agreed to go to Ibiza for a night, And he was like, oh, this sounds like a really good time. And he was all excited on the flight there. And on the flight back, he wanted to jump out of the plane. Here's the idea. You're going to go to Ibiza and you're gonna party for 14 hours and then have to turn around and get back on another long-ass flight. But yes, I was offered South. And then I went, no. And he looked at me like I had 20 heads. And strangely enough, the promotion never happened because no one said yes to it. But so I must have been like the eighth guy he had asked. But he had asked me, and he was like, yeah, it's true. Wow, I get to sit on a plane for that long. What fun. What great fun. That's what Doug Stanhope does, because he wants the Platinum Delta like thing.
Yeah.
So at the end of every year, he goes bar hopping around the world, where he just flies in to different airports around the world, goes to the Delta lounge, drinks, gets back on a plane, flies somewhere else till he gets all the mileage that he needs to keep his Platinum status.
I have to think that before the pandemic, Bert was probably pretty high up on his miles. Because remember, he used to travel everywhere. I wonder if he's kind of sniffing around that special Platinum status.
How many miles do you need for Platinum?
It's pretty absurd.
Platinum's absurd.
Platinum's like you travel 2 to 3 times a week. Like that you really have, like for your job, you have to constantly travel.
And now it's based on money spent and not only miles. So you got to be, it's not working if you're just going to like Buffalo.
Yeah.
Or like Philly. Like you have to be like moving.
I wonder what that number is.
Well, did you see that movie with George Clooney? I think it's called Up in the Air.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Where he, you know, like all he does is travel. Like he hardly is ever at home. And, you know, even he had been doing it forever. And there was that moment where the pilot comes down and sits next to you and like congratulates you and stuff. Like,
I mean, that's when you know it's time to go home.
Yeah, that level it's pretty insane. I don't even know what's called platinum level. Every airline probably has a different type of name for it. But I mean, it's a rare, rare breed that hits that.
Yeah. There was a time where I was in Atlanta. I was the lowest rung, which was they would let you on the plane first. And then back then you got bumped up a lot because back then they had the big first class. And then they would bump me up a lot into first class. But that only lasted for about 6 months. All right, Rich, what is going on? I got to go lock my car.
We had the Celtics and the Bruins play late into the night last night. Neither one with the result that you wanted, but only one team really is there. A little bit of a concern. One's just kind of doing what they're going to do, but then another one is there's some nasty habits that are poking their head back out that we need to talk about.
All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them.
Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
Rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
Rich, both local teams played last night. What happened?
West Coast, which means late games, which means you might not have known how things turned out, and it wasn't great. Well, maybe it's time for Marcus Smart to pitch a post-game fit once again.
Everybody on their feet. This crowd split almost 50-50. Jackson for Marcus Morris. Rises corner three. Got it.
By the way, just randomly, I'm sorry, Mason, who fills in on the show every once in a while, just texted and said, 2 million miles to reach platinum. That's the equivalent of flying from coast to coast 666 times, which is 3,000 miles one way.
You don't want that.
Oh.
You don't want 666 miles.
No.
In the South, we've had bills that were $66 in the 6 cents where the waitress has deliberately taken off money. Has that ever happened to you in the South?
No, but I think you're the one who told me that's happened before.
Yeah, it's happened more than once. Mm. It's happened at least two or three times where the waitress was like, "Your bill was this. It was $66.06, but I changed it."
Isn't that the name of Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden's plane? Flight 666?
That was the name of the documentary.
Yeah, oh, I think that. Yeah, he's a pilot.
He's coming to town on a spoken word tour.
I don't know whether I actually want to go to it, because there's part of me that really wants to see what the singer of Iron Maiden's going to do, just like talking. Like,
his life is like fascinating. He's like has these passions. And what was I reading that he does? Obviously, he flies the Iron Maiden plane. He flew for an airline while he was in Iron Maiden.
Whoa.
And he speaks like 5 languages. Like he's this like incredible Renaissance man.
It's amazing how successful a band Iron Maiden is and how much of a metalhead I am. And I never listened to Iron Maiden.
See, when I was a kid, I had Peace of Mind, which I loved. And then I had the Number of the Beast, which I liked. And then I don't really like any of the other songs.
You weren't into Seventh Son of a Seventh Son. It was always a different Eddie that would creep you out on the cover.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for several weeks, the one thing you could say about the Boston Celtics is that win or lose, the team was playing hard every night. That, unfortunately, doesn't look like the case anymore, as the Celtics, they took their foot off the gas, Fred, and lost 114-111 to the Clippers. After an excellent first quarter, it seemed like all the air was sucked out of the room as the Celtics started to get their asses kicked by not the Clippers' 2 best players, who were both out, but by a kid not even old enough to drink named Boston.
Off the jump ball, Clippers control. Here's Boston launching another three. You've got to be kidding me with this kid. He's got 21, 8 of 9 from the floor, 5 of 6 from 3. Timeout, Ime Udoka. This has gone from bad to worse. L.A. 71, Boston 55.
He ends up putting up 27 points.
14 points clear of his career high.
Oh, this no-name kid.
Second-round pick in this year's draft, played 1 year at Kentucky. Apparently, he lit it up in the G League, had like 45 or 46 points in a game for the G League. So Ime Udoka's like, all right, he's going to come off the bench. They got no one playing tonight. Watch this kid, and he went off last night.
On top of that, too, John, he got cocky. He started talking trash to Marcus Smart during the game. Like, you can't do anything, and they couldn't. I mean, the Stars weren't even playing last night, and the Clippers buried the Celtics into a 21-point deficit that no matter how hard the Celtics played from there on out, it was over. There was a big run, but in the end, they just weren't able to seal the deal. Ime Udoka, for one, is frustrated because this is the calling card of the 2020 Celtics, and it would drive me insane. You would see them play their asses off for one quarter where they looked like world beaters and then just stop. And they did that last night. And that's the one thing you can say about this team, is that they have been playing so hard every night since Marcus Smart called them out. But the last couple games, you're seeing it rear its ugly head once again. And Ime Udoka, he is frustrated not knowing what kind of effort he's going to get on a night-to-night basis. Here he is afterwards.
The effort inconsistency, that part is frustrating. To play the way we did in the second half and not muster up that energy the first half, or it's really the second quarter, it's a little frustrating. Need to bring that effort intensity, and that's my job, to get them going from the start of the game.
Yeah, so, I mean, unfortunately, after that loss, the Celtics are now back at 500, and their next game is as close to an instant L as you can get, as they take on the Suns, who I took a look. They're now a whopping 20-4 tomorrow night that they're going to be playing. But what's even more ridiculous is that the Warriors are 21-4. I mean, you have two teams over there that just look like powerhouses, and seeing that they're both in the same conference, although the last time they met up, the Suns showed that not only, obviously, can they score, but they're good defensively. They were like the only team, I think, in like a 3-week span that was able to keep the Warriors under 100 points.
Yeah, the Phoenix is in the top 5 in the league defensively. Yeah.
That's the thing. And the Warriors, by the way, are there too. So, I mean, that's what gets overlooked. You see all the scoring and all the capability to put the ball in the basket, but they're very good on the other end of the floor also.
Dan just said in my head set that after this Phoenix game, they come home and guess who's waiting for them? Milwaukee, yeah, and then Golden State.
Sure. No, this month is brutal, and when we last had Mike Gorman on, we talked about it. This is a kind of show me type of stretch. You know, how good Celtics are playing well, but here we are in December, and look at all these monsters waiting for you, including this trip, which they're 1-3 on now. No, by the end of this month, and they got not only do they have Milwaukee next week, they have Milwaukee again on Christmas Day. I mean, this is not going to be easy, and you know, Jaylen Brown, I still don't think we're going to see him until next week at the earliest. I mean, this is a rough patch.
Schroeder was kind of funny afterwards talking about that 20-year-old who just lit him up.
I mean, we got to respect everybody. End of the day, he came in and busted our ass. You know, he won them the ball game. That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody just got to be, you know, be ready to go. If you're coming off the bench or starters, and give everything you have, you can't just wait.
Yeah, well, he did that. Came off the bench, busted their ass, embarrassed them on a game that really, when you look at the talent that was on the court at the start of both games, they should have won that game. They needed that game.
Sure.
That's one that they had to have. Speaking of needing a game, for the Bruins, last night was supposed to be the easiest game of their road trip.
Here's Bo Horvat. He can end it here. The captain of the Canucks skates over the line and angles left. Now to the left wing circle, twist to the middle. Forehand shoots. He scores. The Canucks win it in the shootout. 2-1 is your final.
So with Edmonton and Calgary next up on the schedule, who, by the way, are two of the best teams in hockey right now, winning against the Canucks was truly something that had to be done, but unfortunately, not in the plans. The Bees lose it in a shootout. Swayman looked pretty good in his third straight start. He stopped 31 shots, but when the Bruins can't score in overtime, something they haven't done all season long, we do have an issue. On top of that, it feels as if this team is having a hard time finding the back of the net despite overwhelming effort. And if you think that, you're not imagining things, because I saw in the Globe this morning that in their last five games, the Bruins have fired 188 shots on net but have scored just 13 goals.
They average less than 3 goals a game. That's for the whole season. But 62 goals in 22 games.
But also in relation to the shots on net, it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and what's also interesting is that no one in the bottom two lines shoots. I was reading this morning.
I think I saw, because I didn't get to watch a lot of the game last night, but if I'm not mistaken, I saw that, you know, for the whole first period, I don't believe the second line had a shot on net. And I think that that's, as you were saying, Fred, you want to talk about top heavy. We've known that for a while.
Well,
with this,
yeah, they're the worst 5-on-5 shooting team in the NHL at 5.6%.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, Fluto had a stat like that.
Bless you.
Yeah.
Bless you. So here's Patrice Bergeron afterwards.
To me, like, especially early on, we weren't really taking the shots. I think we missed on too many opportunities to really shoot and bring it on net and creating some havoc. Every time we did that, I felt like there was a rebound, there was a loose puck and sustained pressure. So, yeah, that's it.
When is Cassidy back? I know he was out for COVID protocol, but that seemed like 2 weeks
ago.
Him
and Bergeron are the two. Bruin Stats says in 15 to DeBrus 21 games this year, he has 0 or 1 shot on goal in 5-on-5 play.
DeBrusk?
Yes.
Is that,
which is what you want from a young scorer.
This is a guy who desperately wants off the team, and the only way he's going to get off the team is if he plays well.
Well, you might want to put the puck in the net. By the way, Pasternak was on the ice for 72% of the Bruins' shots on goal last night. The Bruins' first line, 78% of the attempts when they were on the ice.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Bruins' second line, 18% of the attempts when they were on the ice. The next three most used lines combinations basically played to a draw.
Unfortunately, we saw this coming at the beginning of the season. I mean, they still have a gaping hole on that second line. You know, Smith is hurt. That doesn't help. No. He's their most prolific shooter.
Yeah, he shoots a lot.
And, you know, they are in big trouble. Now, we're past the quarter pole in both the NHL and the NBA seasons. I think that's a big enough sample size. And you look at the Bruins and the Celtics, and they're both basically in the same boat. They're a team that's right on the edge of the playoff picture. I think the Bruins are 3 points behind Detroit for that fourth spot in the division. So you look at it, and you're like, I guess they are what they are. They're a team that might make the playoffs, might not make the playoffs,
but I love,
and get knocked out quick.
It's weird because I love the offseason acquisitions. stars as far as the eye can see. It's like looking through a telescope.
Watching Swayman play, and he did play well last night despite the loss, watching how he's been playing, and obviously they've got faith in him. He's got three starts in a row. And just thinking that they might bring in Tuukka Rask and still keep Allmark around is infuriating. Like, if you can't send Swayman down.
Did anyone understand Billy? I guess I did understand Billy's reasoning, is that if you're selling, then, which he doesn't think they're going to do, but if you're selling and you're going to have, like, crap in front, maybe the best thing to do is to get the kid's confidence up in the AHL so he's just not getting shellacked in the NHL.
But wouldn't you rather have him going up against actual NHL talent?
It's a mind thing, though. I understand what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with it, but, yeah. I mean, and that was his reasoning. But he also doesn't think they're going to be sellers, which I don't know why.
But everything we've heard about Swayman, and once again, this is just from what the players have said and the coaches, is that he doesn't seem to be mentally fragile.
It doesn't sound
like he's a guy this that isn't almost a knock needs on to him. Be. Well, I mean,
but it's a lot like baseball. It's like you know, it's with pitching is you err on the side of protecting the kid and, you know, putting him in the best type of situations. This is if they sell. This is if, you know, they feel like the product in front of him is, you know, not up to snuff. You know, you get him in the AHL where he'll, you know, dominate and then bring him back up next year. This is only happening because of the Tuukka Rask stuff, which I don't understand at all, but apparently it's a done deal and he's coming back, which, again, congratulations on giving a guy $20 million just to be an albatross around your neck. So we all complained about Krejci's contract and said, you know, wait until they get out from under it. So they basically took the majority of Krejci's contract and gave it to a goaltender who doesn't play.
And the thing is, Fred, is that they gave the guy a no-trade clause, which in the NHL, it's hysterical. It's almost like when you're buying something online and you just forget to uncheck the box. It's like every deal, it's like, I got no-trade clause. I don't know why the NHL is so no-trade clause. Does he command that type of power?
They were desperate to sign him. They were desperate to sign him. That's why he got 4 years. That's why he got $20 million. And obviously why he got the no trade clause. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know. I don't know with the other moves they made, why they thought that they, like, that's the kind of move you, when you think you have like a 3 year cup run coming, right?
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you have just brought in, and there were goaltenders, veteran goaltenders that you could have brought in for a year and just had around, and then said, you know, if Swayman sucks, all right, our bad. Like, it's not, the season's not going to go the way that we wanted to go. Fine. Instead of going, well, let's, you know, be on the hook with this kid. Because by the way, the salary cap of the NHL like never goes up. Well, Fred, it does go up. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't rise by leaps and bounds. It's not the NFL. So, I mean, when that's always going to suck. His contract's always going to suck as long as he's here. Well, they're not going to pay Tuukka anything. I understand that, but then why did you make that move? You could have taken that money and then not signed one of these other jabronis that you brought in. And then that's like $8 million you had to sign a guy or to concoct a trade. I don't know. Nothing they did elicits any kind of excitement. I mean, nothing they did in the offseason.
Taylor
was
Hall
fun.
Signing is the one thing that I was like, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Great deal.
I know, but Taylor Hall was on the team at the end of last year. And so, like, it wasn't like a new thing. Like, I don't know. The idea that they're like missing Krejci this much is upsetting.
It is funny how, like, I mean, there's just everyone's looking at. I saw an article that came out, the loophole that could get Krejci here sooner rather than later.
And the whole thing is that myself and I know a lot of other Bruins fans were like, ah, finally you get out from under the biggest contract on the team and think of all the fun you can. And then, you know, Tuukka, you know, you get out under his contract and you have all this money and all this bargaining. And if you have all that money, then you could have traded picks. Because then you're really swinging for it this year. Instead, you just signed a bunch of nobodies. Like, is that fun? Outside of the first line, is that a fun team to watch?
No.
It's
not.
Like, is your kid going to go out and get, like, I like the guy, but is he going to go get, a Foligno jersey? I mean, Like, who on this team are you like, oh, yeah. Like, who? What new acquisition are you like, yeah, that's the guy.
Dan just told me that Vladar is 5-1 for Calgary.
That's a factor of who we are. Calgary is one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. That's
maybe it has to do with Vladar being on
okay.
the team.
Okay. The backup goaltender that he is.
He's 5-1. Can't argue with facts and stats.
And I get why they wanted a veteran goaltender. I get why they wanted one to back up Swayman.
Yeah, but not one for 4 years and $20 million.
I just said that, you know, 8 times. I agree. I didn't like anything they did in the offseason. None of it's fun, which is bottom line what the sport is about your enjoyment as a viewer. They're not fun to watch. They're boring. They're a bunch of nobodies. I mean, there was a time where you knew everyone on the fourth line of this team. There was a time where, like, you had Mark effing Recchi on your third line. I mean, there was a time where you had players that you cared about. And now it's just a bunch. It's the first line and Taylor Hall and nobody. And maybe Craig Smith. And then nobody. And Charlie Coyle, who can't be a top six player. And there you go. I don't know. I don't like watching him this year. It's not fun. I heard him in the car because I had to coach 2 hours of basketball last night. But I heard it in the car. But I hope they win. But I mean, I don't really care. I'm not going to a game this year. I just don't care. They really let me down. I feel like they really let us down in the offseason. Well, Fred, you don't understand. I mean, you can't just make free agents come up. No, but I mean, if you're a good GM, you can make things happen. You can move pieces around and trade pieces, and like, why at that time didn't you take DeBrusque in a pick? Say you had $8 million and you traded DeBrusque. Say you had $8 million in salary. Mm-hmm. DeBrusque makes what, three?
Four?
Yeah. So you have $12 million. I combine DeBrusque. Then I trade a first-round pick. So I take DeBrusque, a first-round pick, and maybe something else. And I can take on $12 million in salary. Ugh. Well, it takes two teams. Well, then make someone want to do it. He makes 4.85. Good. So yeah, you have close to $15 million of salary to play with. Mm. You see how excited I was and why I was excited, and then they did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They did nothing. All right. And every free agent we brought up to every hockey expert was just like this pipe dream that could never have happened. Well, they signed somewhere. They did something. Our friend from Colorado,
Landeskog.
There's no way. There's no way. Why? Why is there no way? Overpay him. Why is there no way?
It's not like players don't want to play here.
Exactly. Why is there no way? How old is Landeskog?
Was he 30? Yeah.
What is he, 55? Like, he doesn't want to leave the Colorado area? All right. Are you guys excited by this Bruins team?
No. They've been tough to watch. I like watching Swayman. That's one thing I will say, is watching him develop and watching him play, that's been interesting to see. But that might be it. Like, as far as something that makes you want to tune in.
Oh, I'm rooting for Swayman.
It's interesting to me to watch McAvoy, not because he's this stylish Bobby Orr guy that goes end to end, but he's the next guy. You know, when you watch him, you're seeing greatness.
But that's what I'm saying is that, great, they have McAvoy. He's never going anywhere. You have Pasternak. He's not going anywhere. I understand. Bergeron, I love Bergeron, and I love Marchand.
Mm-hmm.
And Hall can be fun to watch. But those guys were all on the team.
But it's almost depressing because you can see it in their eyes that they are carrying this team, and it's got to be wearing them out. I mean, guys like Marchand, I mean, when he's not on the ice, you've seen what happens. If you watching, especially Charlie McAvoy, like, he's the only guy right now.
Yes, and they got a big lug to play next to him who doesn't play physically, at least what I see. They got a giant to play next to him to try to take away some of the punishment on McAvoy.
This is what happens on the backside of a dynasty. You know, this is what happens. You remember what it used to be like. You patch things up. Well, this guy can help our start. No, that's not what happens.
Took the Patriots 1 year.
It's a bit right.
Come on,
it's a Band-Aid.
Sweeney, what are you doing? Take some notes.
How big's the NFL salary cap?
Well, no. Then hire what's his face to coach the Red Wings and what's his
the guy who went to Toronto.
Yeah, get Scotty Bowman. Yeah, you hire Scotty Bowman as coach and maybe you got a chance. All right, we'll be right back.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Right now. It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, we're the Toucher and Rich radio show. Rich, what's going on?
Well, after that win against Buffalo, not only are the Patriots on top of the AFC, but you are starting to see more and more about statistically, they are a team that seems destined to do big things in the postseason. I've been telling you about Football Outsiders, that is the website that breaks things down into that DVOA stat, which I know a lot of people now, apparently like ESPN is basically using these guys, and I think they're paying them now for their statistics. And I know that we've had Greg Bedard on the station quote this guy. I think Tommy Curran is, you know, trust this guy as well. And after this win on Monday, right now, he's got the chances of the Patriots making an appearance in the conference finals, 69%. Yow! A win at 53%. And a Super Bowl win, the chances that he has of New England winning the Super Bowl is by far at the top with 33%. He has it as he's calculated that there's a 33% chance that the Patriots not only make it to the Super Bowl, but win it. So I reached out to him. This guy's name is Aaron Schatz. And I said, in years past, how accurate have your Super Bowl predictions been around this time of the year using DVOA? And he got back to me and he said, well, that's a complicated question, but I'll try to answer it simply for us plebeians who, you know, don't wear the glasses like John.
You need more than glasses for this one.
He said, I checked a couple weeks ago. The average favorite around this time will be at about 25%, and 3 of the teams in the last 12 years won the Super Bowl, which is what you'd expect from 25% odds. He said, that being said, our biggest favorites at this time did not win the Super Bowl recently. Said New Orleans last year and Baltimore in 2019 were their 2 picks with the DVOA statistics. He said the most recent Super Bowl champions were particularly hot in December and then into the playoffs rather than being hot through November. So, I mean, if the Patriots continue on the streak, maybe there's something to read into that.
I don't like that. I don't believe that the football that still have to be played matters.
He said, I know that we have the Patriots a little higher than other websites that in their simulations, maybe a little too high, but I think the other sites have them too low. They have been really good over the last 2 months, so they are coming in hot. So take that as you will. 33%, they are saying, chance that your New England Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl. Right underneath them, Tampa Bay. They have them at a 14% chance of winning the Super Bowl. And from there on, it goes Arizona, Dallas. They got Dallas ahead of Green Bay, Kansas City, and then Buffalo, all the way down with a 5.6% percent chance there. Boy, the Rams have fallen pretty far down this list. Nobody believes in the Rams. Were you here, Fred, when I was talking about that statistic that came out of the Matt Stafford against winning teams? It's one of the more. I have to find the number, but it's something insane. Like he's 7-80. It's like single digits versus like 80 games. If you could find that for me, John, it was Matt Stafford, his record against winning teams during his time in the league. And it's just like comical, disastrous. But all the talking heads were talking with their heads yesterday. And Skip Bayless had this to say about the Bills and their collapse.
If Josh Allen pulls off one play, even the last play, 4th and 14, if he just glances up and he sees, oh, I got Cole Beasley on a, I got Cole, he's wide open at the goal line. It's against the wind, but Josh Allen throws it best against the wind. If he makes one throw, just one play in that game, Coach Belichick, the mad genius, looks foolish. He looks silly. The whole narrative would have flipped on its head, and all you would have heard yesterday was, how could Belichick go in there and be so outrageous as to think he could just throw three passes and score 14 points and win at Buffalo against Josh Allen?
What's that term? If his butts were candy and nuts?
It's the same, they won, and it's the same thing as all the stats out now about who's going to win the Super Bowl. So there's four or five games left, depending on the team. Yes.
Entering this season, he was 8-67.
I mean,
against teams with winning records.
I like Stafford, but I don't have a ton of faith in him anymore. I thought it just would take a change of scenery, but obviously not.
Three straight losses against Tennessee, San Francisco, and Green Bay will do that to you. Although they looked impressive when they dismantled Jacksonville this week.
Yeah.
Slump buster.
But they have Arizona
Gracie.
Next. So.
Grace used to bang fat chicks to get out of a slump. Grace. What is up with Mark Grace slump busting? Fantastic.
This is one of those things where it almost seems like, you know, I don't know, maybe it's because we're not conditioned and everything, you know, you look at and everything that you've seen is that definitely the Patriots are the best team in the AFC, but it just doesn't feel like that yet. It just doesn't feel like a team.
There's a lot more football to be played.
Well, I mean, not against very good teams. You know, the Colts and the Bills, that'll...
And Miami's going to be tough.
That Miami is suddenly much tougher than we thought it was.
The more I think about that, I just don't think there's any way that... Unless it's a game where they've already somehow, you know, clinched their spot or they've got the bye, which I don't think is going to happen. I think it's going to come down to that final game. But I just don't see them getting swept by Miami. I don't see Bill letting that happen.
Has nothing to do with letting it happen or not letting it happen. It has to do with circumstances.
I also didn't see them not. I saw them didn't see them throwing the ball three times and beating Buffalo.
Yeah.
So a lot can happen. A lot narratives can change, but there is no denying what they did on Monday night. That I will not do. All right, the Bankroll Boys are coming in. We'll have them in just a moment.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at bostonscores.org/Noah.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here. Now you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new Business Hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.